Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to St. Paul's, and a special welcome to our visitors who are worshiping with us today as well. When we're younger, and it's time on our birthday or at Christmas to get a present, oh, that's a great feeling to get something. But then we notice as we grow older, we notice how great a feeling it is to give. To see the excitement in someone else's face, to see the joy that a gift brings them. Well, there is no one better than giving at giving than our God is. And today we ask him to grow us in the grace of giving. As we conclude our Growing Forward series today, we'll follow the order of worship as it's printed out for you in your bulletins and projected on the screen today. We begin by singing our opening hymn, 484. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Thank you. be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you commended the poor widow's great offering given in faith. Fill us with the same abundant faith in you, who gave up your life for our sins and daily gives us all that we need. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated for our anthem. Our first lesson for today, taken from Exodus 35 and 36, serves as the basis for our sermon. Moses said to the whole Israelite community, This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red and another type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the sacred garments. Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Aholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary, and the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done." Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. This is the word of our God. We'll continue with our next anthem. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Gospel according to Mark chapter 12. In these words, Jesus commends a widow's offering given in great faith. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. This is the gospel of the Lord." You may be seated for hymn 477. Peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our priceless treasure. Amen. God's word we consider is the first lesson from Exodus 35 and 36. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, out of your glorious riches, strengthen us with power through your Spirit, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Help us to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is his love for us. Amen. Millions of dollars. How can that possibly happen? That's way more than I would have thought. How could people ever come up with millions of dollars? That may seem like an awful lot of money. But what if I told you we have more than enough already? Now, I did not ask permission to say that, and I don't know how much has already been given and how much has been pledged, and I don't know how much will come in the weeks to come, how many more pledges or more amounts, but it's true that we have enough already. And here's how I know. Because we have the same Lord as the Israelites did. In our section from Scripture, we hear about a people who had been oppressed and enslaved for years, just coming off of that, who had been wandering and traveling through the desert, homeless, who were on a fixed menu of bread and bird, and who had recently liquidated a good chunk of what gold they did have, and they guzzled it down. Yet they were still able to come up with enough for a project by today's estimates, which would have been well over $60 million, with more than a few shekels to spare. Today, the Lord invites you and me to offer thanks to Him, to offer Him thanks for our situation, which is far better than the Israelites had it. Give thanks to the Lord because we have more than enough to move our hearts and also to do His work. The Lord had set up several offerings for the Israelites, for His Old Testament people, that were commands. They were required. The Israelites had to give a tenth of all of their cattle and their flocks, all their animals. They had to give a tenth of all of their produce, whether it was things that were grown in their fields or things that grew on their trees. The Israelites had to bring an offering to the Lord to redeem or buy back each of their firstborn sons and the firstborn of all their cattle, because the Lord had spared all the firstborn of the Israelites back in Egypt during the last plague. The Israelites were to come before the Lord. Every Israelite was to come before Him three times a year for these annual festivals: the festival of unleavened bread, and Pentecost, and tabernacles. And they were to bring offerings to Him at that time. No one was to appear before Him empty-handed. Then there were sin offerings, and guilt offerings, and fellowship offerings, and burnt offerings. There were so many offerings that the Israelites were commanded to bring, they were required to bring, and now the Lord presents before them a free will offering. One that's voluntary, not mandatory, just if your heart is moved. This is what the Lord said. He said, "From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering." So put yourself in the Israelites' sandals for a moment. You're already giving well beyond a tithe, that is a 10% of all your belongings to the Lord. You're required to do that. And now you have an opportunity for a free will offering. Do you participate in it or pass on it? Do you reflect on it for a while, or do you even resent it? We actually have a very similar situation to what the Israelites had today, because all of God's people have their regular offerings. They cheerfully set aside a percentage of their own choosing from all that they receive to give to the Lord in thanks to Him, regularly, thankful, trustingly to Him, the regular offerings. But then there's no shortage of special offerings, special opportunities on top of that. We have our Growing Forward campaign to pay down debt and put an early childhood addition onto our building. There are special offerings for our Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, our larger church body, for mission work, and for ministry education buildings and those projects. There are endowment funds to contribute to. There are special offerings for our own Manitowoc Lutheran High School or other Wells High Schools. Occasionally there are door offerings for meals or guest musicians or special ministries such as our Living Nativity. There are many other special ministries as well, such as Christian Aid and Relief for those who've been affected by natural disasters, or prison ministry for those who are incarcerated, Jesus Cares ministry for those with special needs, music ministries for projects like our upcoming new hymnal. So many special offerings, free will offerings. How do you know which ones to give to? Especially if you're already feeling things a little tight with your regular offerings, how can I participate in a special offering, let alone multiple special offerings? Yet if we get worked up about the amount, if we worry about what we can give and what we can't give, if we want there just to be a required minimum or a limit set on what we give, if we are just looking for direction on exactly what amount we need to give, then we are missing the point, and we're revealing a heart that's out of place. Giving and offerings are really not so much about the amount as they are about the heart. That's why the Lord Jesus commended that poor widow who gave two small copper coins out of a heart filled with faith as being a much larger amount than those who gave greater gifts in the eyes of those around them. Even though there's about 2 feet between the heart in our chest and the purse by our hip, those two things are much more closely connected than we usually care to admit. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And a heart that's in the possession of the Lord will trust that the Lord will provide all that it needs to possess. A heart that's owned by the Lord will consider all that it owns at the disposal of the Lord. A heart that belongs to the Lord will look to use all of its belongings to the glory of the Lord. A heart that has no room for offerings in general and is unwilling to plan for offerings and doesn't even want to hear about special offerings is far off from the Lord. Yet the Lord gave the Israelites more than enough to move their hearts with that special offering. Because that offering, after all, was for the Lord, who had made them into a large nation and had delivered them from slavery in Egypt. That offering was for the Lord, who provided powerful plagues against their enemies and led them through dry ground through the middle of the Red Sea to deliver them. This offering was for the Lord, whose glory dwelled among them in that tabernacle that those offerings were to go toward. There at that tabernacle, the Lord taught the Israelites everything that they needed to know. The Lord moved their hearts. Because that tabernacle and what happened there, that taught the people that they could never offer enough to cleanse their own stubborn hearts. But the Lord would. The Lord would provide a priest, a great priest, who would go into the presence of the Most Holy One with the names of his people on his heart. And that priest would more than willingly provide a fragrant offering to turn away the Lord's wrath forever. The Lord would provide a sacrifice that would bring distant hearts back to the Lord. Distant and stingy hearts cleansed and atoned for, bringing them back into alignment with the Lord. The Lord would provide a light to scatter the darkness of his people and to shine on his abundant love for them. The Lord would provide bread that would give them eternal life and satisfy every need of their souls. The Lord, through that tabernacle and what that tabernacle pointed ahead to, would provide everything his people needed for hearts in the right place, atoned and cleansed. The Lord has given us more than enough in this special project too. Think about it. Not only will little children come to make new friends, but they will come to find out about the great love of the one who laid down his life for his friends. Not only will the little children who come to our early childhood ministry learn about the letter A and B and C, but they'll learn about the Word who became flesh and made his dwelling among us, revealing grace and truth from the Father. Not only will they learn to recognize colors such as orange and blue and black and white, but red, the blood of Jesus who took their sins away. Not only will those little children feel the bubbles and the putty and the rice and the jello in the sensory bin, they will feel the peace that goes beyond understanding in Christ Jesus. Not only will parents drop their children off there and pick their children up, but those parents will pick up on the Lord's love for them that made those parents children of the Heavenly Father as well. We have more than enough already to move our hearts. In special offerings in general, but this one in particular, because it is saturated with the gospel. More than enough to move our hearts, but also more than enough to do the Lord's work. The Israelites, where did they get so much? How did these people who were just coming off of oppression and slavery, who had been victims of genocide, these people who were wandering around homeless through the desert, how did they come up with so much that they were able to carry out the Lord's work for the tabernacle? Well, they received that from one of the wealthiest nations in the world at that time, the Egyptians. The Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the Israelites. Even Moses was in high regard by Pharaoh's officials and the Egyptian people, so that when the Israelites left, they asked their Egyptian neighbors, "Give us gold and silver and clothing." And the Egyptians did that. And so the Israelites, in a sense, plundered the Egyptians. They had more than enough to do the Lord's work. Isn't it really similar for you and me? We have more than enough to do the Lord's work from living in one of the wealthiest nations in the world at our time. Oh, the amounts that you and I have may be different, but we've all benefited from living in this great nation. Our situations may be different, but we have the same Lord who provides for us. Our financial commitments may be different, but we have, and it's no overstatement to say this, we have more than we need. We have more than enough. Our needs are met. As this special offering opportunity went out to the Lord's people, the Lord saw to it that everyone in the community heard about it. All the people, the older and the younger, the stronger and the weaker, those who were richer and those who were poorer, they all heard about it. And those who were moved to participate in that offering had plenty. With all the people informed, there were enough to participate to take care of the work that the Lord set before them. That is what we've tried to do with our Growing Forward campaign as well. We've brought the news of this opportunity to all of our members that we were able. And we're confident that all who have been led to participate, there will be enough for us to do the Lord's work. The Lord said, "From what you have, everyone is to give an offering who is moved to do so." A special offering is an important opportunity for us to review just what we do have. Our homes and our heat, our food and our furniture, our clothing and our cars, our education and our employment, our phones and our screens, our income and our investments, our abilities and our energy. The Lord has been so generous to us. We have more than enough to do his work. And the Lord also provided skilled workers, carpenters, metal workers, tanners, other tradesmen for the Israelites for working on the tabernacle. And he does the same for us. He provides skilled workers for us to work on special projects to carry out his work as well. For the Israelites, the Lord provided special blueprints. Read through the book of Exodus and you'll find several chapters dedicated to the measurements for the tabernacle, the materials for the tabernacle, all the different furnishings that were to be there for the tabernacle. The exact blueprints spelled out for the Israelites, they knew exactly what they had to do. The Lord doesn't give us blueprints for our buildings, though, does he? But he gives us blueprints for ministry, to bring the gospel to all people, to disciple people in all of Jesus' teachings, to baptize and to offer communion. I'm not sure exactly where the numbers are going to shake down for our Growing Forward campaign, but I do know that we have more than enough to do the Lord's work. With his word and sacrament and the generous support of his people, we will have more than enough to carry out the Lord's work. The tabernacle, as elaborate and ornate and expensive as that building was, it was only temporary. It was replaced by King Solomon's temple, and that in turn was replaced by Zerubbabel's temple, and that was updated for Herod's temple, and Herod's temple only ended up lasting about a century. Those buildings are temporary. Our congregation knows that very well, don't we? We've seen church buildings and school buildings and parsonages come and go. And money is temporary too, whether it's thousands of dollars or millions of dollars. But what lasts for all eternity is our dwelling place with the Lord. That's why we consider these special opportunities, these special offerings. It's an opportunity for us to tell others about their dwelling place with the Lord too. So let's give. Let's work. Let's tell. Let's thank the Lord over and over. We have more than enough to move our hearts and to do his work. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of the Lord, which goes beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the Creed in Me. Continue with our responsive prayers. Almighty Lord, today our Growing Forward Capital campaign formally ends. We have studied the Word in worship and Bible study. Today we unite as one people under our one God to set before you our hearts. We are passionate about your Word and your work. At the same time, we are hamstrung by fears of obstacles, costs, unexpected setbacks, the unknown, the economy, and our own welfare. We look past our limitations to our unlimited Savior, Jesus. Accept these pledges and donations in his name for your ministry. Receive our prayers. Bless our plans according to your will. May we raise up parents to know you, children to sing your praise, and countless generations to grow forward in Christ and faithful service to you.
See if there is any offensive way in us, and lead us in
Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with your child, Kurt Bulitz, the son of Sigmund and Regina, as he faces surgery tomorrow. Please bless the efforts of the medical personnel and hold his whole family close through faith in Christ. We join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me, and the peace of the Lord will be with you always." Be seated for the communion distribution. If you're visiting with us today, please take note of our practice of close communion. Take and eat. This is the true body of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and eat. This is your Savior's true body. Take and eat. This is your Savior's true body. Also take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the full and free forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the full and free forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is your Savior's true blood. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Be seated for our closing hymn. Thank you so much for worshiping with us this morning, both in person and those who are able to watch online as well. Today we have our last Bible class on Zechariah, that unit, in the gym between services this morning. Please join us for that if you're able. Also Sunday school from 9:20 until 10:10 down in our school wing today. We also have Lenten services continuing this Wednesday evening at 6:30. And then we have little talk from our Growing Forward campaign member, Mr. Thomas Cameron.
I really think we need more microphones up here. Earlier today, the pledges were brought forward. And that's really exciting. In the coming days and weeks, we'll get a better sense of how God has blessed this capital campaign and what that means for the expansion of the preschool. But today is not the end of Growing Forward. A few weeks ago, I identified two goals for the Growing Forward campaign. First, to grow forward in faith through God's word. And second, to grow forward as a congregation to reach souls by expanding the school. The work isn't done yet. We as a congregation aren't done growing forward in faith through God's word. That's a journey that doesn't end. It doesn't end today. It doesn't end when construction starts. It doesn't end when we open the doors to a new 3K program. Growing forward in faith is a lifelong journey. Additionally, our mission to reach souls by expanding the school isn't done either. First, even if God has blessed this capital campaign so that its financial goal has been met, when you come to church next week, you're not going to see the expanded preschool space. You won't see children playing in the indoor play area. You won't see a 3K program. There's a lot of work to be done between now and then. It's exciting work, but it's still work. Second, the goal was never just to build a building. The goal is to reach souls and to share God's amazing work of redemption for all people. That's work that doesn't just fall on our called workers. That's work that falls on all of us. And that's exciting work, too. Sharing God's word can be intimidating. Starting next week, there's a new Sunday morning Bible study with the goal of answering the why, how, where, when, and who of talking to others about our Savior Jesus. It's been a lot of work to get to this point. And on behalf of the entire Capitol Campaign Committee, we look forward to continuing to grow forward in Christ with you. Thank you.
All right, and then we have a thank you video as well.
They grow up so fast. I hear it all the time from empty nesters and grandparents. You bring a child home from the hospital one day, and you blink, and they're graduating from high school or getting married. They grow up so fast. Take the time while you have it. In the last 3 years, members of our congregation have had about 40 children, and that's just our congregation. There are many more in the community around us. We'll blink, and they'll be in school. They grow up so fast. The time to shine with the light of Christ is now. Today we would like to give thanks for growth. Along with the Apostle Paul, we say, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Today we thank God for growing us over the past 8 weeks, growing us in his word, in love for others, in our view of Jesus, in our zeal for the lost. We thank God for you, for your being part of this with us, for coming to worship at Bible class or tuning in as you are able, for listening and being informed about our ministry plans, for praying and considering how you can be involved, for reviewing your financial situation and considering how you could provide support with special offerings, for being willing to consider ways that you could use your energy and abilities to support this in the months to come. We thank God for all of this and for you. We're excited to see how it will continue to bless our efforts to bring the gospel of Jesus to little ones who are growing already. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements from you to highlight for today? If not, then blessings on the rest of your morning, and we'll see you soon.